Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Gun violence, gun control, and school safety became major issues of debate nationally once again following last month's killing of 17 students and staff members at a high school in Parkland, Florida. And this renewed debate has specifically engaged students across the country, led by a number of the students that survived the shooting in Florida. Just how engaged are these student activists? The first indication will likely come Wednesday, the one-month anniversary of the Florida shootings. That's when the National School Walkout is planned, a coordinated campaign to have students nationally walk out of their schools at 10 a.m. for 17 minutes, 1 minute in memory of each of the Parkland victims, to advocate for an end to gun violence. Contributor Larry Nagengast checked in with schools around the first state to see who intends to participate locally and how school and district administrators plan to respond. His piece is available right now at DelawarePublic.org, and he joined me this week to tell me what he found.
Well, let's start with the basics. About how many school walkouts are anticipated locally?
I'm not aware of anyone who has actually polled individual schools throughout the state, so any listing that you see or know about is likely to be incomplete. The largest list that I've seen, which is on the News Journal's website, and coupling that with some other reports, it appears that students will be participating at 22 high schools and one elementary school, and perhaps more than that, plus a group at the University of Delaware. I think the final numbers are going to be greater than that because it's very likely that at some schools walkouts will occur, but the students have been keeping quiet about it because they're concerned about tipping off administrators who just might not be supportive of their activity.
But you have had the chance to talk to some students that are involved in planned walkouts. What are they saying, and what are their expectations for what's going to happen next week?
Well, I think the students I've talked to, they're expecting a strong turnout. Now, I'm not quite sure what the definition of strong might be. They know that support for their position is not necessarily unanimous. Likelihood is that participation is going to be stronger at schools where the principal or the headmaster has been supportive of the students' ideas and suggestions. Students do have a diversity of views. Emma McTurk, who's a student organizer at Concord High School, says her classmates tend to support restricting access to automatic and semi-automatic weapons, keeping guns out of the hands of people with mental health issues, better background checks, improve school security. But that doesn't mean that everyone in the student body supports all of those proposals. And as for the walkout itself, the students expect it to be orderly, to be dignified, respectful. School officials, to the extent that they are involved, are doing what they can to ensure that it does turn out that way.
I was going to say, it seems from your piece that most schools seem inclined to work with students rather than try to shut them down. Why is that? What are they saying about how they intend to respond next week?
Well, you know, there are several factors in play here. First, many schools are encouraging civic activism among their students. That's part of their philosophy. You know, if they want seniors and graduates to go out and vote in November, to become involved in their communities, they would be inconsistent if they told students they couldn't express their views on the biggest issue to confront their generation. Another administrator from Salesianum School phrased it a little differently. He said, in essence, if you tell a group of teenagers that they can't do something, they're more likely to go out and defy you and do it anyway. And third, this is a national issue with objectives that everyone seems to understand. It's not a local controversy between the students and the administration over dress codes or discipline policies, something like that, where the attitudes on both sides would tend to harden. Now, there is a more subtle issue here, too, one which has school leaders carefully choosing their words when discussing schools that are likely to take different positions here. If a school clamps down on student expression on this issue, some people just might get the impression that the administration tacitly supports the status quo with regard to either access to firearms or to school safety. You know, and whether or not that's true, in some circles it would not be good to have your school perceived in that fashion.
Now, one place there was some initial resistance was in the Cesar Rodney School District. Can you walk us through what happened there and where things stand right now?
Okay, well, in a nutshell, the district superintendent put out a statement saying that he could not support having students, quote, disrupt the educational setting, unquote, by walking out. He also said that teachers would not be permitted to walk out. That prompted a controversy on the school district's Facebook page, with students and some adults criticizing the superintendent's position. session. Then the school district's communications officer, who manages the Facebook page, deleted comments that criticized the superintendent while letting favorable comments remain on the page. Now, it's not totally clear how this issue is going to be resolved. Some Caesar Rodney High School students are planning to walk out. Will the school stop them? Will the school discipline them? There have been some subtle indications that the school's attitude is a little less harsh now than it might have been a week or so ago, but we're really not going to know for sure until next week.
Which brings me to one other thing that seemed evident in your piece, and that's that school administrators, when they're talking about their concerns about these walkouts, the primary concern seems to be safety. You know, where are the students going to walk out, go to? If teachers join them, what do the students who stay behind do? But it seems that there's been enough time and engagement at many of these schools to kind of work those things out. Is that about right? And might it be a different story if students had kind of just picked a random day and walked out unannounced?
I think you're really right about that, Tom. And that's why the administrators who have been acknowledging students' First Amendment rights to express their views are working with them to make sure that the activity occurs smoothly. These schools are making arrangements so students gather in a safe place with staff members observing. And many will be asking students who don't participate to gather in a large location indoors, like the cafeteria, the auditorium, the gym, where some other staff members can supervise while there's activity going on outside. The fact that students and school staff are working together rather than springing a surprise increases the likelihood that all will turn out well.
And it may also really improve the effectiveness of the walkout itself if it is deemed as orderly and people focus more on the point they're trying to make rather than the process of what they're doing.
No, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, the principal at Brandywine High School, for instance, mentioned to me that with fire drills and things like that, they know how to get students out of the building and get them located in safe places on the school grounds, and they are intending to work with the students at Brandywine so that as they file out the building and go to wherever they are deciding to congregate, all of that runs smoothly. So if they're working together, and in essence, the school administration is helping the student body, showing them in many respects how to do it the right way.
You hit on a couple of other issues in your piece. One is that some of these student-driven efforts are going beyond this planned walkout. Can you share some of the other things that are going on with students as they try to make their voices heard on this issue?
Well, certainly those of us who follow politics hear a lot of people wishing for bipartisanship these days. Bessie Spears, who's the head of school at Tower Hill School, was pleased that this week the school's young Democrats and young Republicans were organizing a teach-in on gun violence. So both sides there are talking together about the issue. At Concord High School, the students there, besides planning the walkout for next week, they set up a GoFundMe page and they raised $5,500 so that they could charter two buses for more than 100 students and staff and parents to participate in the March for Our Lives demonstration in Washington, D.C. on March 24th.
You also noted that there also seems to be maybe some more student angst about school safety these days. And these feelings are really kind of running deep for a lot of students, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Of course, what we're hearing at this point, it's a little disjointed, somewhat anecdotal. But for instance, Brandywine's principal told me about a boy who was known as a tough kid in school, and he asked his teacher to make sure that the classroom door was locked. A little bit surprising behavior, both the principal and the teacher thought. A Concord student 2 weeks ago told school officials that he had seen a posting on Snapchat, and it said words to the effect of, "I'm going to do better than the Florida kid at Concord High School." Well, that post got checked out, and it turned out that the threat was directed at a Concord High School, but the school was in Concord, New Hampshire. More generally, students appear to be paying more attention to things that they seldom worried about before, like making sure that the side entrances and the exit doors are locked, a lot of the other little things that go into making the school a safer, more secure environment. In the past, this was things that, certainly if you went back 5-10 years, students didn't worry about this a whole lot. No big deal to leave the door open, let somebody come in the other way rather than check in through the front office. They're being a lot more careful about that now than they used to be.
Also, for a companion piece you did for us, you checked in with some 60s era activists to get their take on this generation's student activism, and they seemed impressed. Why?
Well, I talked to George Wolkind, who was a leader of anti-war protests at the University of Delaware in the 60s, and to Bill Hutchison, who's a retired teacher who reluctantly served in Vietnam and later protested against the first Persian Gulf War by remaining seated in his classroom while students recited the Pledge of Allegiance. They noticed a couple of things. One is that today's adults, having endured Vietnam and Watergate and 9/11 and its aftermath, there seem to be more understanding of students' rights of self-expression than adults in their generation, in their era, were. And they also noted that the eloquence and the determination of the students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School has galvanized the nation and earned them broad respect.
And there seems to be a kind of a prevailing sense that this version of student activism on this issue could have legs and last past the regular news cycle churn. Is that the sense you got talking to the various people you talked to for this piece?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I certainly got it from George Wolkind and Bill Hutchison and from any number of school officials who pointed out that this is the first big issue that many students of this era have gotten into. I mean, so today's teenagers, and I think the millennials as well, they're undaunted. They're pushing adults like us to solve problems that we haven't been able to solve for years. We haven't seen youth activism like this in a long while, probably not since Vietnam and the civil rights battles of the 60s. And I don't think these kids are going to quit until they accomplish their goals, or at least come very, very close to it.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nagengast for his time this week. Again, his piece on how the national school walkout may play out locally next week is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. The Green continues in the moment with the debut of a new political podcast from the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication and Delaware Public Media. We'll have a sample of that new podcast for you next. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.